That was different. Hey, wow. That was different, wasn't it?
Go!
That was different. Hey, a little bittersweet for some. I know you were attached to the old name and maybe the old music, but hey, this is a brand new day. It's a brand new day, and we're fired up. Zach, it is Blackerby and Brad, and it's game week, kind of. It's a mock game week for Auburn. It's game week for college football.
Sure.
This is great.
As this goes up, right when this drops at 11, Alex Gold is scheduled to speak to the media at noon.
Yep.
We're going to kind of go macro if you're looking for an Alex Golish recap this afternoon that this is happening before. So
yeah, that'll probably be tomorrow's show.
Yeah. And boy, will it be. Boy, will it be, Brad Law. No, I mean, the vibes that are an all-time high.
Yeah.
And so now the big question is, okay, great. Let's go win football games. And you hope that you've done enough with fall camp being over, and now you are prepping for individual games. Have you done enough? Because you can't get that time back. And Alex Golish has been so intentional saying you only have 10 weeks. You only have X amount of practices left. And it's now that number is dwindled to zero, essentially. The season is here. And you just got to kind of hope that this staff and this team has done more than everybody that they're going to play on their schedule.
Here's a fun phrase that's true. Auburn plays football next Saturday. Let's just sit in that for a second. Auburn plays football next Saturday.
That's crazy.
That's a great... Just, hey, go around saying that to your friends today.
I just got chills.
Auburn plays football next Saturday. And so what we've seen from this staff is they are... they optimize the schedule, and then they go execute it. So with that in mind, I don't think they're trying to figure out anymore the roles that players are going to fill against Baylor next week. This is a mock game week.
Okay.
So they can do everything the way they will next week. So with that in mind, is Auburn going to have four legitimate ball carriers against Baylor next Saturday when the Tigers play?
I don't think so.
Okay, but hang on. I'm counting Byron Brown because he's a heavy factor in the running game.
I think so.
Okay. Yes, not
four. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Not four running backs, but four ball carriers against Baylor. I think so too, but this isn't fantasy land. This isn't a video game where, I guess in video games now you don't really rotate them out even, but it's not this idyllic world where if you run the ball 48 times, everybody gets 12 carries. So what's the breakdown? We do this a couple of times a year. I think this is another good time to do it. Because again, I don't think they're fleshing this out this week in practice. I think this is game plan, and next week is game plan. So Byron Brown, Jeremiah Cobb, Omar Mabson, Bryson Washington, what do you think the breakdown is of rushing attempts for those four guys? We'll get your comments on this, too. I would love to read everybody's comments.
Let's assume there's 30 rush attempts, which is probably low, but we're going to go with just a clean round number.
I was thinking more in the 40s because I was thinking 80 plays. Over half of them are runs.
That's fine. We can do 40. That's fine. Okay. So,
but if we did 40.
If we did 40,
mm-hmm.
probably not 10 each.
Right. I think Byron gets more than 10. I think Jeremiah gets more than 10. Which means Omar doesn't get 10. And it means Bryson does not get 10. I could see Byron getting in the 15 neighborhood. For a first game.
So I'm going to give Byron 14. I'm going to give Cobb 12. I'm going to give Omar 10. Nelly's 4 for someone else. Yeah. Bryson, Washington, Nekai Davenport, whoever it is.
Right.
Which is like one drive.
Yeah. And it's one, yeah.
And I don't think that's unrealistic. It's probably going to be two drives, so you might get a few less from somebody else. They also may run it more than 40 times. But as far as that percentage goes, I would say QB, RB1, and RB2 are all pretty close.
Yeah. I think that's realistic. I think it's more realistic now than it's been in a really long time.
I think you're realistic.
I try to be. I try not to be artificial. Try to be realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the keys to Blacker being Brad is let's be as realistic as we can.
Let's be super level-headed.
Right.
Let's don't overreact to anything.
Yeah.
And let's also just make a joke once. Let's don't run it into the ground.
We will only react, not overreact. Only react. You know, it's like things that are extraordinary. We don't want extraordinary. We just want ordinary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How about that?
How about it?
Like you tell people, you put the extra in extraordinary. All right. What do you think in the comments? I don't know that it will be as balanced between Cobb and Mabson, but I don't know that it won't. But I'm kind of on the fence there because I do think they'll rotate them in pretty regularly.
I think you're going to see a lot of like one drive, one drive.
Yeah.
One drive, one drive.
Which,
and it just kind of depends on how the drive goes.
And there are different philosophies on that too, because there are some running backs who need a drive or two to get going. They need to get hit a few times. They need that. They need to get in rhythm. You hear rhythm sometimes with running backs.
Sure.
Are these guys that way? Do you give them three drives and then you give them a rest? Do you give them a quarter and then a rest? I don't know. Or can they just alternate drives? Because they don't substitute mid-drive much at all, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Do you give them multiple drives? Is that the best way to – how do they respond to that? Maybe they're okay being interchanged, a drive at a time.
I mean, whatever. If they're not okay with it, they're not going to play, right? Like, that's – yeah. That's just they've made that clear, especially with the depth of this room. So I think Cobb and Omar are gonna be closer with touches than people think. That's mine. Especially in the macro. Maybe not like micro game to game.
Yeah.
But I think in the macro at the end of the season, I do think Omar and Jeremiah will be within 10% of each other, is my prediction.
Yeah, I like that. I think the running backs at South Florida were last year. I think they've been pretty like
something that had to do with injury, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, like, durability is a question that I have for Cobb. He's bulked up. Seems like he's taking care of himself, but that is a question.
Yeah.
Like, if you had to bet that all these backs played in all 12 games, no. It's tough.
And we don't automatically, like the other side of that coin is we don't automatically know that Omar is that durable because he's not been a feature guy for a full season. And this was supposed to be his freshman year. So
good counterpoint. Sure. Yeah.
But that's the case for any, that's every position. You just don't know. One hit, one wrong. Yeah. So
you don't know.
If everybody stays healthy, though, if we project a normal season health-wise, or if we just take that out of the discussion, you think they're pretty close at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think under the assumption that Byram and all the running backs stays healthy, I think Gavin Jenkins gets 6 interceptions.
I would take the over on that. I think it'll be interesting to see how Baylor decides to defend the run in this game, because last year, like if you could go back, if Baylor played Auburn in the middle of the year, their defense would be so different. Their plan would be so different from what it was game one. They were scared to death of Auburn's receivers. I don't think they go into this game scared of Auburn's receivers. I think they go in with a much like heftier plan against the run. I think the safeties are closer. I think they're doing more run blitzes. I think they're doing a lot more at the line of scrimmage than they did a year ago.
Brad, if they do that and we pop off a seam route or something, get behind them, oh my gosh. The healing that would happen throughout this fan base would be insane.
Yeah, I think that's on the table. I really do. So, all right, running back breakdown. What do you think? I want to tell you about a couple of former Auburn wide receivers that are at the top of the mountain after the weekend that they had here on Blackerby and Brad. After we remind you of a couple of things, first of all, sign up for the Auburn Daily newsletter.
That's AuburnDaily.com.
Yeah, AuburnDaily.com.
It's right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people asking, what do we do now with this? What are we signing up for? What are we joining? Sign up for the newsletter at AuburnDaily.com.
That's free. That will always be free.
Yep.
So we hope to get that up and going by the end of the week. It's going to incorporate different content from different shows. There's going to be some original writing in there, probably from Christian. I think Kyle mentioned possibly wanting to write some too, and as well as
I'll do some stuff when you and I want to hop on in there. Yeah.
As well as kind of some stuff from that we talk about throughout the shows, as well as a bunch of other stuff. So want to encourage that. That will always be free. That will always be free. We are also a lot of folks asking, like, all right, like if you have a YouTube membership to another YouTube channel, you can't move YouTube memberships from YouTube channel to YouTube channel. It's just not how it works. Right. So we need to get a few watch hours in. We think we'll hit that by Wednesday or Thursday, and then the channel's got to get approved. Hopefully by the end of the week, we will have memberships again, and that will be the return of the postcast for Blackerby and Brad. I guess the debut. Of the postcast.
That's right.
Blackerby and Brad.
It'll be the first ever B&B post show.
Yeah. Yeah. But post show. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Been in locked on mode.
Sure.
And then also, all the other exclusive content that you have known to come and love. It will be slightly different, but the idea will be the same. So that's coming towards the end of this week. So I think that answers those questions. Also, today's show brought to you by our friends at Active Wealth Management, our guy. Ford Stokes.
There he is.
You can get directly on Ford's calendar, calendly.com/Ford Stokes. You can also get directly on my calendar. Go to calendly.com/Zach Blackerby, or there's a link directly to it. If you go to auburndaily.com as well, you just click the Active Wealth Management thing there. It'll go straight to my calendar. So we want to help you manage your money. We want to help you manage your wealth. A lot of folks have come in. Actually, a shocking amount of folks came in and attended the seminars. Thank you so much, guys, for trusting us with everything. And we've really been able to help out a lot of families that that have watched this show in its previous iteration. So we would love to sit down and meet with you guys for that as well. So head over there. The quickest way, auburndaily.com, and then just click on the Active Wealth Management tab on that.
You may have been shocked by it, and that may have been tongue in cheek a little bit. I was not shocked at all. There's an authenticity to Ford and to you, and this is an area of genuine need. And people need this information. They want it. They're not totally sure who they can trust though about it. And the authenticity that you and Ford bring to this, and a genuine desire to help people, comes across very easily. So. I was not shocked. There's been a huge turnout, and there's going to be even more as we go forward. So
yeah, incredible stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So Jairus McIntyre is the first Auburn former wide receiver that we want to shout out. Gave him some love on the Aubcast last night. What a job. Every time you hear from former players over the last few months, they are all talking about Jairus McIntyre. Jairus, of course, was a receiver in the early 2000s at Auburn, went on to become a very successful high school coach at one of the biggest schools in the state of Florida, in Tampa. So from there, he went to UCF. He was on Gus Malzahn's staff. I say all that to lay the foundation.
What city was he coaching in?
He was in Tampa. And then he went to Orlando. I don't think he was in Tampa when Alex Golish was at UCF. I think he was already with UCF at that point.
Oh, wait, he was from Tampa too?
Yeah.
They
both spent some time in Tampa.
How about that?
But he had a work ethic already and then developed that even more as a coach. But, man, relating to high school coaches, relating to former teammates of his, former Auburn players, cares about being here. The job that he did specifically over the weekend, he and his team, to get guys back. Cole Kubelik talked about how, on video, they'd never been this many back for one event. Another example of how Alex Golish and the people on his staff are relentless about doing things beyond what has been done before. There's nothing inherently wrong, I don't think, with the job that other guys in Jairus's role did before. I know some of the guys who have held this position. They work hard. They had their way to go about it, and they're really good people. What Jairus has done was just take it maybe a little and approach it differently and put a little extra fuel behind it. And the results speak for themselves. So Jairus McIntyre, huge weekend for one former Auburn wide receiver.
You want me to move? Well, and it kind of sorry, I'm typing. I'm having
Good.
So the I mean, and that goes back to what we've talked about, right? With leaving no stone unturned, with making sure every box is checked, every T is crossed, I is dotted, because every relationship matters. And every relationship needs to be authentic. And so you need to get authentic people. Yep. And Jairus certainly seems to be an authentic human who loves Auburn and who wants to see Auburn win. And also wants to get to know these young men and who's leading these young men with these high school coaches throughout the Southeast. So you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct with everything about that.
By the way, side street, little detour on the side street. It's why when we talk player evaluations, recruiting, scouting, and all of that, I have such a high confidence in what the staff does because they're so thorough. They are so thorough and detail-oriented in everything, even down to the scouting and building the relationships with the high school coaches and so on and so forth. So that was just a little side detour. The second former Auburn wide receiver that had himself a tremendous weekend, Sammy Coates. Sammy Coates goes to Columbia High School. They've not won a high school football game since pre-COVID. Pre-COVID, there's 100-plus losses in a row.
That's insane.
This is his second year on the job, year two. And they won their opener this past Friday night. They broke the streak.
What a moment.
He did the thing. He did the thing, man. Another guy, relentless work ethic. One of the most underrated Auburn receivers because he played in an era where they just ran the ball so often. Heralded, but still probably underrated. There's a difference. Yeah. And he's kind of bounced around a little bit, did a little time in college coaching. Police officer in Auburn, went through that training.
That's right.
And certification. And now at Columbia High School. And
I've also heard that he was unbelievable and playing for a kickball team.
Really?
Through Auburn Parks and Rec.
That's awesome. Well, sure. That's probably where he developed that winning, like the edge that you need.
Probably so.
I would guess. Probably kickball so. Can do that for you. It can humble you or it can lift you up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a couple of former Auburn wide receivers that had outstanding weekends and worthy of being lifted up a little bit.
Yep. All right. Okay. First blacker being Brad in the books? Or do we have more stuff? Do you have something else?
That's it. That's it.
You looked at me confused, I thought. But that's a me thing. But yeah, no, we're excited to start this. Thank you guys for your patience and moving over and following us here. That means a ton. And we'll have more updates as things develop over the rest of the week.
That's it. Does that do it for today's show?
That does it for today's show, and I can't wait to hear what you're about to say because I know you've been thinking about it.
Actually, yeah, I'm in a tight spot here now.
Because you haven't been.
I don't quite know what to say. Everyone's got vices. Make sure Blackerby and Brad is one of yours.
I've got it.
Okay, what?
Everybody's got a Brad. Make sure Blackerby and Brad is one of yours.